Good afternoon. I'd like to call the Senate Judiciary Committee to order. Today's Wednesday, March 13th. Let the record reflect the time is 1:33. Today we have present Vice Chair Senator Reinbold, Senator Michicki, Senator Schauer, Senator Keel, and myself, Chair Hughes. Please silence or turn off your cell phones. Thank you to those helping us today in assisting. I'd like to ask committee members to please keep your questions and comments focused on the bills before the committee. We're going to table all philosophical and positional speech making, mine included, so we can complete our scheduled agenda work. As always, concise questions, thoughtful brevity are the order of the day. We have one item on today's agenda, the committee substitute for Senate Bill 35, Crimes, Sex Crime Sentencing, Parole, sponsored by the governor. We'll move the CS as the working document, go through the explanation of changes, and of course the committee can ask questions about the changes either to my staff or the Department of Law. Vice Chair Reinbold.
Madam Chair, I move committee substitute for Senate Bill 35, Work Order 31-GS1873/U to be adopted as the working document.
And I will object for purposes of discussion, and I'll ask my Chief of Staff Buddy Whiff and Staff Attorney Regina Largent to the table, please. Once you get situated, please place your name on the record and walk us through the explanation of changes from the previous version, please.
Thank you, Madam Chair, for the record. My name is Buddy Witt, staff to Chair Hughes.
And Regina Largent, staff to Chair Hughes.
First of all, Madam Chair, I just want to thank the committee and committee staff for their input on the changes in this CS and also for the patience as we went through the process of drafting the CS and getting it distributed. I know it was a late night for me and an early morning for me as I tried to get that information out, so I appreciate the committee's indulgence in a long time for us to get as much accurate information out as we possibly can. This is the explanation of changes in committee substitute for CS or for SB 35. This would be version A to version U. Before we get started in this explanation of changes by section and numerical order, I wanted to point out to the committee that section in version A, section 7, that was AS 1161-118A regarding harassment in the first degree, and section 13, that's AS 1181-900B regarding sexual contact. Those two sections have been removed from the previous version of SB 35 as they were placed in a previous bill sponsored by Senator Michicki that is in finance right now, so there's no need for those sections in this bill. First of all, we have title changes to allow for additional sections in the bill. As you'll notice in the title, the following has been added to the title: relating to sexual abuse of a minor, relating to indecent exposure, relating to distribution of child pornography, relating to automated victim notification system, and related to the definition of sex offense. Madam Chair, as we go through the explanation of changes, I would also like to point out to the committee a couple of areas that have already been sent off for amendments to alleged legal because of small drafting errors, and also errors that were made that need to be fixed that were not intentional and do not get the chair's preferences in the bill. So,
and by that second statement, they were not just technical.
Yes, ma'am. There weren't. Yeah. They were leaving large pieces of what the chair wanted to have happen in the bill and what other members wanted to have happen in the bill out, and we can fix those easily by amendment.
Okay, and we are hoping to have those amendments back by the next meeting. Is that correct?
That is correct. Yes, ma'am.
Okay. Thank you.
Section one. Conforming changes to clarify references with the new work draft and references to previous legislation in order to clarify legislative intent. This relates directly to further in the bill the change in having folks who have committed crimes and who are listed on sex registries outside the state to have to register in the state. We made a change to Section 7. Section 7 now in the bill, actually it was added, amends AS 1141-458-8A to make masturbation in front of someone under the age of 16 the crime of indecent exposure in the first degree. And there's conforming language later that will add this as a registrable sex offense. This is found on page 3, lines 31 through page 4, line 11. There is, I will point out, there is going to be a
Yes.
There is going to be a change to this section. The change will be, if you're looking at the bill on page 4, again, the top of the page, we're looking at lines 1 through 11. The chairs will, and some other members of the committee, was to make the offense when it occurs in front of a person under the age of 16 have a more stricter punishment. So we are working on that. It will actually be classified as a Class B felony.
And currently it is classified as what?
Class C felony, Madam Chair. Section.
Madam Chair.
Senator Keel.
It's a question about the the effect of how this is drafted. Anyone who exposes themselves and masturbates, knowing there's someone who can see them, then it's the sex felony as opposed to the sex misdemeanor, as opposed to previously when it was only, that was only for a person, if the victim was under 16. Is that correct?
Through the chair, Senator Keel.
State your name for the record,
Regina Largent. Senator Keel, that is correct, without the consent, without consent of the person. Right. Before an unwilling person.
So just follow up.
Senator Keel.
That would have the effect of someone, you know, the exhibitionist in the, you know, the hotel window, definitely criminal, inappropriate, but instead of that being a misdemeanor, that would then be a sex felony.
Through the chair, Senator Keel, correct.
Okay, continue.
Thank you. The next change, non-substantive change, but this was brought to the attention by the vice chair and the chair. This is in section 9. A small change in the wording to make sure that we weren't allowing a misinterpretation of the statute to allow some sort of indecent viewing to occur, i.e. peeping Tom. There's just a small fix there that I believe corrects that unintentional possibility. And
where are you, please? Which page and line?
We are on section 9, and this is page 5, line 3 through 20, and the Department of Law is here and can speak specifically to how this change actually avoids that unintended consequence.
Do you have anything to add to that, Regina? I'm a little bit confused. I just need to help. We didn't actually change anything here, did we?
To the chair, there was some ambiguity that the Department of Law and I believe Senator Reinbold both raised. And we met with the Department of Law, and they also met with Ledge Legal, and they clarified that they need a little cleanup. Ledge Legal did that, and to our knowledge, it's good to go in terms of getting rid of that ambiguity where a peeping Tom might not be charged.
Okay, so Section 9 is changed in this draft. Is that correct?
That is correct.
Okay.
There's a small conforming, through the chair, for the record, Buddy Witt. There's small conforming language changes, nothing substantive, but small language changes to make sure that we aren't protecting peeping Toms, basically.
Okay, very good. And I was just looking at the explanation of changes, and Section 9 wasn't listed. That's
correct, because it wasn't substantive. This is a note I made to myself to make sure to point out to the committee. I can certainly add that and put it back on the public record.
Yeah, I think if it's just a conforming change, it's good to have it. Thank you.
Madam Chair.
Senator Keel.
Just a clarification on this. So the penalty part associated with this, the peeping Tom penalty, would be on the same level as the penalty for viewing a picture, and producing the picture would still be the higher penalty. Is that the effect of what we've done here?
Through the chair, Senator Keel, I think that the Department of Law would be better suited to answer that question, because this was the bill sponsor's original intent.
Okay, thanks.
Do you want me to comment on that or not? Go ahead, Senator Reinbold.
Through the chair, I just inadvertently, it appeared to legalize Peeping Tom, and that's all we were trying to do is close the loop.
Through Chair, Senator Reinbold, that's my intention. That's my understanding, yes, ma'am. And now that we've fixed the small language change, we've completed that fix.
Correct.
Section moving. Any other questions, Madam Chair? Section 12 amends 1161.123F to so that indecent viewing or production of a picture is moved to a Class B felony when the person captured in the picture is an adult and the picture being captured is of a minor. There will be a change to this as well.
I'd like to take a moment to explain that, just because when you go back and fix this, what had caught my eye was that if you look on page 6, lines 3, 4, and 5, prior to this change, the viewing and the production were both a C. And to me, the production is more serious, because viewing could just be looking in a window, where production could be installing cameras and having something on film that could be watched over and over. And we were trying to bump up the production a level, because if you look in on down in line 6 through 10, for if the victim in the viewing or production is an adult, those are on two different levels. But for some reason, the viewing and production of a minor were the same level. So what we were trying to do was bump up the production of a picture of a minor, and in the drafting they bumped up multiple things, so that there will be some fixes to that to try to get those different levels. So just clarify.
Madam Chair.
Senator Maticki.
Will you first? Go ahead.
Well, there's three of us, so she decides.
Okay. I keep going back to section on page 5. Why does this still seem, section 9, I'm sorry, Madam Chair, I'll pull my mic over. Why does section 9 still seem to allow a 13 to 16-year-old the ability to give consent to have themselves photographed, including the private exposure of the parts listed on line 7.
You want to speak to that, Regina?
Madam Chair, if I may,
okay.
Buddy Whitford,
go ahead.
Again, I would add, and we can step away and let the Department of Law come up, but this is based on their previous language, which was just small tweaks to the front part of that section. They may be able to speak again as to why they were putting this in there, and what this actually does. If you'd like them to come up now,
we can do that. Regina, did you have anything you wanted to comment on that? It looked like you were about ready to say something earlier.
To the chair, I was, but I'll defer to the Department of Law, because they can explain the whole truth and nothing but the truth.
Okay. Why don't we have Department of Law rather than delaying and then possibly forgetting to bring it up? So come on up, Casey.
For the record, Casey Schroeder, Assistant Attorney General for the for the Criminal Division at the Department of Law. Through the chair, Senator Maticki, I was not privy to the discussions that were happening between members and the chair. Was it your understanding that those sections would be changed?
My understanding, I mean, we asked this question previously. Right now, am I correct that a 13 to 16-year-old can give permission for a photograph to be viewed or perhaps produced of them with the, including the private exposure items in line 7?
Through the chair, Senator Maticki, the way the bill is currently drafted, if the person is between 13 and 16, you need both the parent's consent and the 13 to 16-year-old's consent. That's the way it's currently drafted. If members want to adjust that, that's a policy call that the legislature obviously can make.
Follow up.
Senator Maticki.
For a sexual assault to occur, so a 13-year-old cannot consent to having sex. So it's still regarded as being rape. But the parents of a 13-year-old can't give consent for a 13-year-old to have sex. So why are we differentiating that with an indecent private exposure?
Through the chair, Senator Michiki, I just want to clarify, this is not involving pornography. This is not the person engaging in any sort of lewd act. This is basically just a private exposure. Those the age, the who can give consent was delineations that were made by the legislature probably very a long time ago. And if those need to be revisited, that's open for discussion.
Now, Madam Chair, I'm just trying to think of when that would occur with someone who has kids, like many of us do.
Madam Chair.
Casey?
Through the chair, Senator Michiki, sometimes you see 13 to 16-year-olds perhaps agreeing to do that kind of conduct. Maybe they're in some sort of relationship or something with somebody who's older. But the safeguard would be then they also need the parental consent. So that's kind of the backstop there for that. And then also these are older children who, even if the parent gives consent, may want to have some sort of say in what's happening with their own bodies. And that's the best explanation I have for the committee.
I'm struggling like Senator Michiki when it would ever be, maybe somebody thought for art purposes or something. I don't know. It's just Senator Michiki.
Yeah, Madam Chair, the only application I can see is perhaps a medical journal or something. But if that's the case, we should spell it out. I mean, there are parents that should not have children under their care that could subject their kids to some pretty horrible things and do every day. So I'm not sure. I think this section requires additional conversation, Madam Chair. I don't know that we're going to solve it right now, but I'm trying to understand the application where that would be a really good idea.
Madam Chair, I can tell you that we have had cases where a 14-year-old has wanted to have those sort of photos taken of themselves, and the backstop and the way we were able to charge that was because the parents didn't consent. So that's a very real application. The other thing would be that I think the lower age where the parents are consenting for the people under 13 was really the baby bathtub situation, as Mr. Skidmore had described before. So as the committee is looking at who needs to give consent and at what ages, that may just be something you want to factor in.
Thank you. And I may have implied that I thought that art was an appropriate application. I do not think that it would be for that age. I'll just say that I could see for medical, for science purposes, perhaps. So thank you for bringing that to light, Senator Michiki. We can think on that and continue that conversation.
Thank you.
After committee. All right. Thank you, Casey. And Senator Kill, did you have something for Department of Law?
Madam Chair, that was on my question. I think was on section 12, which is where we had been.
Where we were left off before. So we'll go back there, Senator Keel. You want to go ahead, section 12?
As soon as I reset my head into section 12, thank you, Madam Chair. Can you remind us what section 12 is? I apologize.
Page 6, top.
Thank you. Yep. Through the chair, for the record, Buddy Witt, staff to Senator Hughes, leaving off on section 12. Section 12 amends AS 1161-123F, as in Fox, to make indecent viewing or production of a picture a Class B felony when the person capturing the picture is an adult and the picture being captured is that of a minor. Mm-hmm. And that is found on page 5, line 31, through page 6, line 10.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I remember my question,
okay,
which
Senator
is you're saying minor, but it refers back to the section Senator Michiki was talking about. So really 16-year-old and under. We're not talking about a 17-year-old here. Is that, am I understanding that correctly? Violates A1 or 2? That's where we get into the 16-year-olds.
Through the chair, 15? Senator Keel, that's my reading as well.
Great. Thank you.
Shall I continue?
Yes, and I kind of clarified that when what we requested, they were bumping up things differently than what we asked. So you will see an amendment likely on Friday to fix that. Senator Reinbold.
Yeah, I had a question. I was actually going to ask Department of Law what they thought of Section 7 making that a B felony. and also 12 through the chair.
Casey, could you come back up, please?
I was trying to find the felonies in here real quick, but I couldn't.
Okay.
For the record, Casey Schroeder, Assistant Attorney General for the Criminal Division at the Department of Law. Madam Chair, what was the...
Section 7, page 4, Senator Reinbold.
Okay, so basically, I couldn't quickly, I don't have the one that has all the B felonies and stuff on here, but basically, with other B felonies, how does this weigh? I mean, is 7 and 12 worthy of a B felony is basically what my question is compared to other B felonies that are on the books? Because I know I tried burglary to get a B felony, and I couldn't get that past the house, and this doesn't seem to meet.
Madam Chair, I'm trying to get clarification on what because I understand that this section was not drafted how you intended.
No, Section 7 is I believe it, changing to first degree, moving it from a C to a B.
Matt, through the chair, Section 7, the purpose of Section 7 is just to specify, it will be the chair's intent that when indecent exposure in the first degree happens and a person is under the age of 16, that it be a stricter penalty than when indecent exposure happens and the victim is over 16. It's to differentiate between the victim who is a minor and the victim who is an adult. And the chair requested that when it is a minor, that crime be classified as a B felony. That is what is left to fix in this particular section, and I apologize if I wasn't clear about that, but that is the work that has left to do that is going to be forthcoming in an amendment.
Question, Senator Reinbold?
This just causes me a lot of pause. I mean, if it's two 15-year-olds or whatever, I just trying to figure out if, according to other B felonies, is this meet a normal standard of a B felony?
Through the chair, Senator Reinbold, I would say that anything involving children, if the legislature wants to differentiate between the child victim and an adult victim, that's really a policy call. And we can come up with all sorts of examples of B felonies. This particular suggestion does not seem to be out of left field. So if the committee wanted to do that, that would not raise any eyebrows over the Department of Law.
Oh, you have a comment?
Yeah, just it's same with through the chair, 7 and 12, both going from C felonies to B felonies.
Through the chair, Senator Reinbold, again, the same thing. Anytime a child is a victim and the legislature wants to elevate that sort of a conduct, that's really a policy call.
And what I was trying to explain, there was drafting problems, but there is a difference in the adults between viewing and production, and that's what we were trying to do with the minor. Just they bumped a lot of different things, so it's not quite where it needs to be. Senator Reinbold?
Just one more follow-through on this. Basically, what I was trying to get at, if it's an actual abuse or a first-degree, assault, is that the same as not touching them at all? That's just what I was trying to do, is weigh the difference between an actual physical assault and, anyway, I got to think about this one, knowing what's going on, just even in Hollywood, let alone, in high schools and things like that. It just, or high school behavior, I should say. I just want to think about this one. This one just kind of caught me off guard. I had no idea we were going here with this, so.
And Casey, maybe you could differentiate for us if it were between two 15-year-olds, that's different than if it's a 30-year-old and a 15-year-old as far as the perpetrator. Can you explain how that would work?
Madam Chair, that's correct. When it's two people under the age of 18 and it appears to be consensual behavior, we look at that differently and we would exercise our prosecutorial discretion differently than if it's a 35-year-old and a 15-year-old. And then also, it's important for the committee to keep in mind that unless it's an auto waive situation, and there are very few offenses where the person is waived into adult court if they're a juvenile, very few offenses where that happens, the Division of Juvenile Justice will be handling these, and there will likely, you know, be some sort of a diversion or something. But I know we have a representative from DJJ here who can explain how they handle those sorts of cases.
Would that be helpful for you, Senator Reinbold, to have DJJ come up?
I guess so. But is this going to be redrafted, and maybe it's not going to be a B felony, or is this the intent in the committee substitute for this to be a B felony?
For the intent is for the production of a photograph of a minor to be a B.
I'm also talking through the chair, Section 7 as well.
And can you address that, Buddy? The because you mentioned there was going to be an amendment.
Yes, Madam Chair, for the record, Buddy Witt, staff to Senator Hughes. The intention and the redrafting of this section will make it so that the indecent exposure in the first degree, when the person, the victim, is under the age of 16 and the defendant is an adult, will be a Class B felony. And that is how it's going to be redrafted.
Okay. And through the chair, so 18, is 18 an adult?
For the record, Casey Schroeder, Assistant Attorney General, 18, somebody over 18 is an adult.
18 or above 18?
Yes.
Senator Michicki.
So at that point, do the year slots come into play in this, or is this completely independent of those differences that occur with statutory?
Senator Michigan, I didn't hear your question. Did what come into play?
Just wondering if, because a lot of this, so we're asking the question, just wondering how that plays in with other law. If someone is 18 and the victim is 15, do the age gap slots that occur with statutory rape come into play in this, or are they independent of what we're talking about right now?
Through the chair, Senator Michicki, those age differences are independent of the statute.
Senator Schauer.
Thank you, Madam Chair. So just that was kind of the question. I think it sort of cleared it up, but maybe a little more fidelity on it. 13 to 16, 17 years old, 18 is an adult. You just kind of maybe between those two sections clear that up, because that's the one you kind of like, what are we really talking about? It's, I think it gets confusing when you're talking 13 to 16, but we're really talking adult is 18. So is there a way to maybe rephrase that so it's a little more crystal clear?
Through the chair, Senator Schauer. Probably. This, as I don't know if Mr. Skidmore mentioned, but the underlying statute for this particular statute is very confusing. We tried to make some improvements. Ledge Legal has made more improvements. There probably are additional improvements that could be made. I would point out for the members, though, that we have reverted back to the use of the word minor in this section. A minor is somebody who is under 18. And that was the intent with the Department of Law. I don't know if that matches the intent with the committee. So if it would be a registrable sex offense if you committed this offense against somebody who was under 18, and that would be the child. If the committee wants to make further age delineations, that's, of course, a policy decision that they can make.
Okay, thank you. Senator Reinbold, would you like Juvenile Justice to come up? I'm thinking it might be good. They've been here, and if they wouldn't mind coming up, and any questions. Everybody at this table, I believe, has raised teenagers, so we kind of know about that age.
And through the chair, if you want me to answer that, yeah, this is your intention. This is not my intention of the bill, so any clarification for us of what your intention would be, if you think they'll be helpful to explain what you're trying to do, then that's fine. I just had no idea this was going to be coming up, so.
Okay, welcome. State your name for the record, and you've been listening, so please weigh in.
Sure. My name is Matt Davidson. I'm a program officer with the Division of Juvenile Justice. Given that this is, I just started looking at this version, but I'm comfortable speaking generally to the questions of how juvenile offenders and when they come to the division. I think if you want to ask me specific questions about how these offenses would apply to juveniles, I'm happy to try to answer those as well. It's hard without when we're talking conceptually in terms of the amendments, I think. But juveniles who are 17 years of age or younger are referred to the Division of Juvenile Justice, and we handle them based upon their risk and needs needs and the risk that they'll reoffend. So the sentencing provisions do not apply. We handle them based upon their risk and needs, and sometimes that's incarceration, and sometimes that's probation, and sometimes that's treatment. So that's the just the general lay of the land. The division does see, I mean, I know you've been spending a lot of time on the indecent viewing and production. That is a crime that juveniles do commit on each other. Not super commonly, but it happens between juveniles. Kids take pictures of each other in locker rooms and those type of situations, and those are often referred to us, and criminal charges are filed by the police, and we handle them based upon the severity of the crime and the use risks and other behaviors, et cetera. So that helps.
Senator Reinbold?
So I guess I'm just going to point blank. Do you think this should be a B felony?
Through the chair, can you...
Section 7.
Section 7. And this, just for clarification, I don't have the underlying statute. This is the crime of... Enticement? No.
Go ahead, Mr. Witt.
Thank you. Through the chair, Buddy Witt, staff to Senator Hughes. Again, sorry to put you on the spot.
Okay.
Again, the intent with the section, and I'll try to be more clear if I can, when the fix goes in, the intent of the section is that when a person who is an adult victimizes someone who is under the age of 16 through the crime of indecent exposure in the first degree, they will be guilty, if found guilty, they will be guilty of a Class B felony. That is the intent of the section, not to make a Class B felony when two children conduct consensual action. So,
to be clear, right now, if this act occurs and the victim is an adult, it is a felony C in current law. Is that correct?
Through the chair, that is my understanding.
Mm-hmm. Madam Chairman, and just for clarification, it wouldn't have to be consensual conduct for them to remain under this description. If they're both juveniles and the offender, the defendant was a juvenile, they would stay in the juvenile system. Ms. Schroeder mentioned what we commonly called the auto waiver. Those are youth who have been waived to the adult system based upon the severity of the crimes. That's found in AS 4712-030. There's a list of offenses. They tend to be the more severe unclassified felonies, arson, sexual assault, high-level things, age 16 or older. And so the B felonies generally are not included in those. They're not waived to the adult court, so they would stay in the juvenile system. In certain conditions, B felonies can end up in the adult system, but not in this case, not in these circumstances.
Okay. Senator Reinbold?
Okay, so I just want to make sure that I – because there's an intention in what's written here and then what's being verbalized, but is it the intention to make it a Class B felony to make masturbation in front of somebody under the age of 16 – the crime of indecent exposure in the first degree, so like an 18-year-old masturbating in front of a 16-year-old, is that the intention, is to make that a Class B felony? That's what I'm asking. And if that's the question, do you support that? Is that weighted heavily, a Class B felony? Is that something that you think should be prosecuted as a Class B felony?
Through the chair, I don't have an opinion on that. Sounds like a policy call by the legislature. It is not a juvenile matter if the offender is 18 and
Thank you, Mr. Davidson. Any more questions for him? Senator Michiki, looks like you have a thought that you're ready to utilize.
Madam Chair, I'm just still struggling. I don't know at what point a photograph becomes pornography, but I'm looking at that you can give permission for your 14-year-old, actually for your 13-year-old, to produce a photo of an inappropriate photo of them. I don't know when an inappropriate photo becomes pornography, but it sounds like there might be some crossover, and charge someone who's it seems like we've got our scales a little bit reversed, I know that that's not your intention. I know that that's not the intention of the administration, but I'm really struggling with the two sections on.
Ms. Largent, perhaps you could come up, and because I was struggling too a little bit mm-hmm. between pornography as opposed to just a production of a photo. Could you, or Casey can do that as well.
For the record, Casey Schroeder, Assistant Attorney General for the Criminal Division at the Department of Law. The conduct referred to in indecent viewing, which is in Section 9, 10, 11, and 12, is really just the private exposure of somebody capturing somebody when they're nude or not doing anything else. There is a specific definition of pornography, child pornography, and that would be a person under the age of 18 engaging in sexual penetration, lewd touching of another person's genitals, anus, or breast, lewd touching of another person of the child's genitals, anus, or breast, masturbation, bestiality, the lewd exhibition of a child's genitals, or sexual sadomasochism or sadism. And that is found at 1141-455. And those are that's the range of conduct that we refer back to all the time when we were talking about making child pornography, distributing child pornography, and possessing child pornography.
So there's sexual activity involved in the imagery where there's not with just production of a photo. So that's, I don't know if that's helpful to you.
Madam Chair, it is helpful. Just if masturbation of a child, even self-masturbation in the photo, is child pornography, that helps. That breaks it out a little more. I still don't support the section that a 13-year-old can be used for producing a nude photo. And I'd like to see us work on that. That does not make sense to me. But it helps with the other section on masturbation of someone above 18 being viewed by someone below 16 as being a serious crime. I'm not sure we have it in the right category, but that helps me a little bit. Thank you.
Okay, Senator Keel.
And thank you, Madam Chair. As we're looking at the underlying law, and I want to be clear, this is in the status quo law, not a change here, but am I reading this correctly that a child 14, 15, 16 doesn't need to consent? The parent can consent for them? Only when the child is 13 and under do you need consent of both?
Through the chair, Senator Keel, I believe the word and is in there. So you need both.
So maybe I'm misreading it, Madam Chair. Produces a picture without the knowledge or consent of the parent or guardian if the person in the picture is under 16. And the person if the kid's at least 13. So you need both if the kid is 13, 14, but you only need the parent if the kid's 15, 16? 15, I guess. The consent of the person shown in the picture is only needed for the younger kid. Again, Madam Chair, not a change in this CS, but if we're, I think it might be worthy of looking at the underlying law here.
To understand.
Through the chair, Senator Keel, if the person is under 16, you need the parent's consent. And if the person is at least 13, you need both the parents and the 13-year-older person's consent. So that's how that works. So that means that if the person is under 13, you only need the parents' consent. Yes.
Senator Schauer.
Okay.
Is that a legal precedent, or has that been is it just in our statute, or has that been adjudicated through the courts to have that age of 13 and below to know?
Through the chair, Senator Schauer, I will tell you that we often litigate this section because it is drafted in a confusing manner. Mm-hmm. I don't know of any reported cases that have interpreted this section, but I will tell you we often litigate it, and that is partly why we're trying to bring some clarity, and it sounds to me like the committee might bring further clarity as far as the age distinctions.
Madam Chair.
Senator Michicki.
Yeah, I think we need some time. I mean, I don't know what your intention is on this bill, if we can take a little more time on just some discussion and consideration. Is going to take more time than just sitting here. But on the minimum age, I hear the bathtub photo thing. I've got volumes of bathtub photos of my kids And I will tell you, I don't take them until they're 13. There's a natural state where they will not let you take them anymore, and it's probably much younger than that.
Yes.
So there's probably there's probably somewhere that we should think about a reasonable upper age for that discussion.
Through the chair, Buddy Witt, for the record, Madam Chair, I think if I might ask you to ask the Department of Law a question, perhaps the committee could use some clarification of what the law currently states in regard to these two sections. Well, in regards to these this area, and what why we are trying to fix it, that might help because the purpose of these sections is to try to add the clarity, is try to make the fixes with things that are currently in law. So perhaps that would be of value to the committee.
Casey, can you?
For the record, Casey Schroeder, Assistant Attorney General, Department of Law. So we originally started amending this statute for two reasons. One, because it's drafted in a confusing manner and we often spend time litigating it. And second, because we wanted to make some conduct, in particular the production of photos, we wanted to make that a sexual felony. It is not a sexual felony now, and that's partly what the bill is doing. It's making some of that conduct a sexual felony. We have that tiered approach where if the victim is a child, it's sentenced at a higher range and a sexual felony. If the victim is an adult and there's production, it's a regular Class C felony, but it's also a registrable sex offense. So we're trying to make some of that conduct a registrable sex offense. Right now, the way the statute is drafted, viewing and production are jumbled up together. It's the same. It's treated the same. And we wanted to try to separate out that conduct. So that's really the goal of what we were trying to do here. And like I said, the Department of Law is very open to further clarification in this area.
So, Madam Chair, through the chair, so again, I just want to reiterate for the committee, this is not that we are actively trying to fix an issue with current law, not try to create more issues with the law. So that is why the sections were written and will continue to be tweaked to try to get that fixed.
Well, and I think some important things have been brought up. A little bit difference if it's an 18-year-old and a 16-year-old than if it's a 35-year-old and a 14-year-old. So we might want to look at those age, I don't know what you call those, the differences. And then also the matter that Senator Michiki's brought up as far as a parent even allowing a child after a certain age to be posing for such types of pictures, except perhaps for a medical journal, you know, a body photo for a medical journal or something like that.
Ma'am.
About the only legitimate thing that comes to my mind. So, Mr. Witt.
Madam Chair, can I point out one other part of that section, Section 7, which we have not has not been pointed out, and thank you to Ms. Largent for pointing this out to me and reminding me that the offender commits the crime of indecent exposure in the first degree if the offender violates 1141-460A and, while committing the act constituting the offense, offender knowingly masturbates, or the offense occurs within the observation of a person under 16 years of age and the offender has been previously convicted of this section 1141-460 or a law or ordinance in this or any other jurisdiction that has similar elements to the crime listed. So the crime occurs when the person is not just when someone does this to someone under 16, but that they've done it before, they've been previously convicted either in our state or another jurisdiction. So there is a second piece to that. We're not just the intent is not just for these age questions, but also when it is a repetition type of action. So just wanted to put that on the record.
Okay, Senator Schauer.
I know I missed her a lot. It's funny. Just kidding. The sex trafficking. Just a question: would this apply? And a lot of this is becoming the internet with all Snapchat and the other things they're doing. Would it be safe to assume that this could be used or could be used, safe to assume, with the especially, I'm trying to get the right term, but you know that the predators online, they're asking kids and posing as other kids and things like that. Is that something cybercrime that this would be applicable to charge them under, where a lot of this is taking place with sex trafficking? I'm asking because we're in a sexual assault bill and sex trafficking is a big problem. So is either could it be used for that, or do we need to even look at expanding it to make sure we're covering technology and how fast it's moving? So just kind of a generic question.
Casey?
For the record, Casey Schroeder, Assistant Attorney General, through the chair, Senator Schauer. If the picture of the person is online, it doesn't matter. We could still use this statute. If the picture is of the person doing something else, like engage in a sexual act, then we have a whole host of other statutes that we could charge under.
Okay, thank you.
Madam Chair.
Senator Kiel.
So, question to Mr. Witt's comment. I think the status quo language, if an adult exposes themselves to a person under 16 twice, they're already guilty of this indecent exposure one.
Through the chair, Senator Kiel, I'll take another look at that and try to clarify for you, but I'm kind of catching me off guard with that.
Okay. Well, we can follow up later. Thank you, Madam Chair.
Okay, thank you. Senator Rainville?
Regina, I think, has the answer.
Oh, Regina, come on up.
Forward.
Through the chair, Regina Largent, for the record. And who asked the question? I'm sorry.
Senator Kiel, sorry.
You're correct that the language that isn't fixed here yet, but that was the section that is intended to bump to a B felony. So the B felony issue that everybody was talking about is where you have both the 16-year-old and the prior conviction. That's the B felony.
Does that answer your question, Senator Kiel?
You're welcome.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I guess the question then would be if there's a way for us to address specifically that and not to bump any masturbation in front of someone who doesn't want to see it to exposure in the first, but only that's the part that's not, it's not clear to me why we're going after that one.
My understanding is we're only trying to bump it up if it's the minor is the victim. Is that correct?
To the chair and to Senator Kiel, the bumping for the minor and the priors, and I believe was your question, just to clarify, asking if there's another way to address it, like perhaps sentencing enhancement or something separate. Is that kind of what you meant? I'm not sure.
Madam Chair.
Senator Kiel.
So my first question on Section 7 was about catching that the bump up in the crime of masturbating in front of an adult who doesn't want to see it. And that, I think, the way this is drafted goes from indecent exposure 2 up to indecent exposure 1. So it does bump up a level the way this is drafted.
Through the chair to Senator Kiel. That is correct, and it adds to anyone, not just where previously it would just be someone under 16 for the masturbation piece. So this does also add where it would also be a crime if somebody masturbated in front of somebody 16 or older.
Just
follow up.
Finish the thought. It was already a crime. This would make it a higher level of crime. That's the part I'm not sure why we're catching that one. I'm with you on the 16-year-olds. Mm-hmm. I'm with you on the repeat offenders. Not sure about that other part.
And for clarification, because I thought it was only so this is bumping it up for an adult as a victim.
To the chair, sorry, I'm looking for my page 4.
Because I don't believe that was our request.
As it's written, that's true, but that wasn't our request. That's why.
Right. Why don't you address that?
Madam Chair, I'll reiterate, for the record, Buddy Witt, again, as it is written, was not the chair's intent. That's mm-hmm. why it has to be fixed. The intent is that it be a higher, more severe crime when the person who conducts the action is an adult and the victim is a child. That is the intent of the section and why it needs to be fixed, because it does not state that now. I don't know how else to put it, Madam Chair. I'm sorry.
Okay, that's good. That was good repeat. Are you good, Senator Kiel, then?
Thank you, ma'am.
Got that. That's okay, and Senator Rainbow.
Okay, and so if you could just define minor versus child versus adult. I think adult is 18 and over, child is, and then minor is 17 or something?
17 and under.
Through the chair, Senator Rumbold. I believe the Department of Law put that on the record already, but we can bring them back up, or we can get back to you, or we can take suggestions.
Or we can ask Casey if she'll nod her head. Is a minor defined as 17 and under? Okay. Thank you.
And child.
And is there a separate definition for a child? No.
Okay. So minor okay. child, same thing. Okay.
There. Be efficient in that. Senator Michiki had a question.
So 1141-460A is just about indecent exposure. It does not cover masturbation. So it seems to me that you could have been convicted of indecent exposure, and then in the second one there's something that it says knowingly masturbates. I'm not sure how you do that accidentally, but seems like it's. I will leave it that it's written strangely, and we have some work to do. How does that sound? I don't know how many times we can use the word masturbate in one meeting, but
through the chair or in 1 month. Through the chair, Senator Michiki, I'll point out that 1141-460 is indecent exposure in the second degree, and we're talking here about indecent exposure in the first degree. So in order for someone to be guilty of indecent exposure in the first degree, they have to have committed indecent exposure in the second degree plus the added pieces of this section. And even with that explanation, Senator Michiki, I will agree that this section needs work, and that is the chair's intent.
All right, are we ready to move on from this section? Please.
Madam Chair.
Senator Michiki's not ready to move on.
I'm just wondering what if the Department of Law has. They've been working with this for years, and it's obviously problematic, and they've tried to deal with it with this bill, but I'd be interested over the next few days to hear their suggestions on dealing with it without us trying to sort of chase our tails on getting there on our own. So that's my only comment, Madam Chair.
Well, and I will comment, too, before we go on to the next section. We have talked repeatedly about trying to get these things right and taking the time to get them right. We were going to try to get the amendments back to do some final fixings by Friday. As we add to that list, it might make things more difficult. So I am very willing to hold it and try to get those fixes. So we can have conversations about that and work with the Department of Law and whether we can come up with something in a few days, since you've all been aware that this has been a problem for some time. I'm not sure, but I'm hopeful that we possibly can. So let's try. Okay. So I think we are ready, because we were we had gone up to Section 12, so we're ready to move on from there?
Madam Chair.
Senator Michiki.
I hate to do this to you, but I have a meeting on the third floor at 2:30. And this is rather riveting, so I will watch, get back as soon as I can if you're still here, and if not, I'll watch the rest of the meeting and look forward to chatting some more on it.
Sounds good. Thank you for your participation. You brought some helpful insight today.
Thank you.
Okay, continue, please.
For the record, Buddy Witt, continue with Section 13. Section 13 amends AS 1161-125E. To make distribution of child pornography a Class A felony on the first offense. Again, as you read the section, it may look a little confusing as you're looking at it, but I would like to remind members that at the back of the bill, there is a repealer for AS 1161-125E1, which is where it lists Class B felony. So simply, the distribution of child pornography from heretofore, if this bill were to pass, is a Class A felony, regardless of whether it is a first offense or a repeat offense.
Okay, continue.
Section 14 amends AS 1255-015 by adding a new subsection that states there is a presumption of a no-contact order between the defendant and the victim until the defendant is unconditionally discharged. This was an idea from Senator Keel's office. There is, again, a drafting error in that this provision was supposed to be specifically for sex offense cases as defined under AS 1263-100 or a crime involving domestic violence as defined in AS 1866-990. So there is actually an amendment in the works to add that this specifically addresses sex crimes and crimes involving domestic violence, and that will be presented to the committee for consideration.
And just to be clear on the record, Senator Keel's request was regarding narrowing it to domestic violence, and that was the request put in, but then there's just technical problems with how it was drafted. Is that correct?
Through the chair, that is my understanding, and perhaps Senator Keel would like to verify that that is his intent as well.
Nailed it.
Okay. Thank you.
Picking up, I would like to point out to the committee section 15, AS 1255-125D. In this section is an enhanced sentencing guideline for Class B felonies and assault in the second degree. And this section is already addressed in the previous bill and should have been removed and will be.
And that was section 15, I'm sorry.
Through the chair, yes, that's correct.
Okay, thank you.
Section 16 amends AS 1255-125I with sentencing guideline language to conform with Section 7 and Section 9 and Section 13. Those sections deal with sexual abuse of a minor in the third degree, indecent viewing or production of a picture, and distribution of child pornography. Section 17, this is found on page 11, line 31, is the substantive change. It's basically cleanup wording for this section, and this relates to convictions in another jurisdiction. And this specifically has to do with the guidelines of for the purposes of considering prior conviction and imposing sentences. It's just a small cleanup language. It still carries the same intent that the bill sponsor wanted to have. Section 19, which starts at the bottom of page 12, this is conforming language for the definition of sexual felony, so that includes sexual abuse of a minor in the third degree and indecent viewing or production of a picture. This actually is also conforming language to Section 7 and 9 of the bill. Section 20, which begins on, which is on page 13, amends 1261050C to direct the Department of Corrections to include in the victim notification system or VINES system information for victims of a crime involving domestic violence or sex assault, so that they will know how to request a protective order and to provide contact information for state victim resources. The victim notification system is a system already in statute and already working. This was an idea from Senator Keel's office, so that when someone who is a victim of domestic violence or sex crimes, if their perpetrator was getting out of prison, then at the same time they received the call through the VINES system, they would be given the additional information to secure a protective order against their past victimizer. Section 21 amends AS 1263-010D with conforming language for sections 22 and 23. Section 22 amends AS 1263-020 with language to reconcile that the duration requirements in Section 3 for sex offenders from other jurisdictions to register when they're in the state of Alaska. This is a new section that was identified as needed by Ms. Largent in order to tighten up and make clear the state's desire that people who come in from out of state need to register as a sex offender in the state. Section 26 and 25, if there is an explanation for Section 26 in the summary of changes. However, I'm just going to tell the committee right now, and many of the committee members will recognize these sections. They are also duplicated in Senate Bill 34. However, Senate Bill 34 has gone through some changes since these amended language was put in. So it is the chair's desire to actually remove sections 25 and 26 from SB 35, keep them in SB 34 where they are more appropriate, and the committee work on the language within that bill. Section 27 and 28 and 29 all relate to information gathering for reporting. These are offered by the chair. It is in order to get a more firm, informative grasp of what is happening in our state with sex crimes, unreported sex crimes that are not prosecuted, and the reasons why. Section 26 amends AS 4419.647A and instructs the Alaska Judicial Council to include in their annual report data collected by the Department of Law as described in Section 29. Section 28 adds a new subsection K to AS 4423020, instructing the Department of Law to develop to develop a tracking mechanism, I will say, in order to get certain information in regard to sex offenses and complaints by region. Section 29 adds a new subsection B to AS 4423040, instructing the Department of Law to gather and report data on felony sex offenses, including the number reported but not referred for prosecution, the number referred for prosecution that were not prosecuted, and the number that resulted in conviction of a crime other than a sex offense.
And before you move on from that, I just want to say those actually were brought forward by STAR. We're all familiar with that organization. And I wanted to thank them for bringing that forward. They also had another request, which we vetted. And Regina, I was wondering if you could maybe explain. They were wanting to change the name of a certain offense regarding sexual assault, because people think of the word assault that it might mean, you know, you got to punch somebody in the face as part of the process. And so they had another suggestion. But when we looked into that, could you please explain to me why we were unable to address that at this time? I thought it was actually a good idea it was more descriptive of what was actually occurring, but we were unable to do it. And if you can explain why, I think that'd be helpful.
For the record, Regina Largent to the chair. Yes, STAR had asked that we rename that because in their experience they reported to us that jurors sometimes have difficulty, allegedly, because they're looking for an injury, an assault, and in some cases this charge is related to somebody who doesn't have the capacity, they're not to consent. And so that's, I believe, was their intent for asking for the change. But when we asked for the change, legal services actually got back to us and said that this isn't something that the legislature has the power to do, because the statute headings are created by the revisor of statutes. And the way you can request it, if you have a substantive change within the statute, and then request the heading to change. But because we weren't making a substantive change in the statute itself, we don't have a basis to request the change in the title.
Okay, so if at some point we do have the substantive change, that would be something we look to, and that would be through a revisor bill is how it would happen. So just thought it was a good idea in general. It just we're not able to take care of it right now. Thank you.
Section 30. Section 30 amends AS 4717020E and adds indecent viewing or production of a picture as described in Section 8 and 9 as possible criminal conduct that must be reported under the state's duty to report statutes. Section 33 instructs, just as we were discussing, instructs the revisor to change the heading of AS 1161123 to indecent viewing or production.
And I want to point out that Section 30 was birthed out of points that Senator Reinbold brought up about how prolific it is these days for the students in the schools to be passing photos and things back and forth. And so we wanted to make sure that the school staff has a duty to report that. So
Thank you, Madam Chair. I meant to mention that. My apologies, Senator Reinhold. Yes.
Is there any other question about the changes at this point? And we are aware that there are some items that are going to need to be fixed. Seeing that there are no questions or comments at this time, I'll remove my objection, and we'll take this as a working document, understanding that that hopefully Friday we will be making some updates. So I want to remind folks that Senator Keel.
Madam Chair, thank you. It's not a change in the CS. Done some research, asked legislative research to do some looking on the issue of requiring folks who are required to register sex offenders in another jurisdiction to register here. And I think the existing statute could use some tightening. I'm concerned that the way it's written in the governor's bill does two things. It delegates, frankly, the Alaska legislature's constitutional authority to other state legislatures, which I'm not sure is constitutional, and I am sure is not appropriate for us as an elected body. But the other thing it does is it requires people to register as sex offenders who've done things that aren't crimes here in Alaska. In fact, in one case, things that aren't crimes anywhere in the United States.
Can you please give an example of that?
The latter?
Yes.
Sure. Engaging in consensual same-sex sex, homosexual sex acts. But there is at least one state where you're required to register for that. I'm working in my office on some language that would tighten our registry so that folks who've done things in other states that would require them to register in Alaska had they done them here, but the other state's law is broader than ours, would still have to register. Because I think that's a loophole we want to close. I agree with that intent. But that would not require folks who've done things that aren't against the law in Alaska to register here. So when I get that language, I can provide that to your office and bring that to the committee as well.
Okay, thank you. Ms. Largent, you want to make a comment?
Just one brief one to the chair and Senator Keel. And thank you for sharing those list of crimes. I did want to point out for the record that there are some crimes on the list that I think Senator Keel's referencing that don't necessarily match up or may not be specific crimes in Alaska, but involve sexual activity. The one that was mentioned, the sodomy laws, I think you're referencing. If a state actually has those on their books, they're unenforceable. They were all overturned by Lawrence v. Texas by the U.S. Supreme Court. And I have put in a request out of respect for the point you brought up, very rightly so, Senator Keel, to ensure that would never be the case here, is with the Department of Public Safety, I've put in a request for information if our sex offender registry was purged at all, be it sua sponte or by petition, for folks who may have been convicted even in other states under sodomy laws, which have been unconstitutional since Lawrence v. Texas. And I believe that was 1994, 2002, one or the other. It's been a while.
Okay.
94. Okay. So I will get back to Senator Keel's office when I get that information, because I'm sure he'd be interested.
Okay. Are there any other comments? I think it's been a good meeting, a lot of good stuff surfaced, and we still have some work to do, it looks like. Senator Schauer, did you have
No, I'm just agreeing.
Yeah. Okay, so with that, I want to remind you, we did send out an email around 9 a.m. this morning, but I want to just make sure here on the record, too, that everyone, all the members understand that amendments for the committee substitute for SB 35 are due to my office by 10 a.m. this Friday. And seeing no other business before us.
Madam Chair.
Senator Schauer would like to say something.
Just a question. If with all of the discussion, as you had said, you might entertain slipping that a little bit, we're going to look at a couple of these things as well. Can we get back to you and see if we're going to, because we would have to ask Legal how fast they could return those to us. Is there the possibility?
Yes, and so I'm going to keep that deadline right now of 10 a.m. Friday, but we will give you an update because some of the things we're working on, too, we're not sure how quickly the turnaround will be. So appreciate your flexibility. It would be nice to know exactly what's going to happen Friday afternoon at this point, but unfortunately we don't. So we'll be in touch with the offices. All right, seeing no other business before the committee, we will adjourn and let the record reflect the time is 2:43.